and turning to them, he said, "If anyone comes to me and does not hate his father and mother, his wife and children, his brothers and sisters, yes, even his own life, he cannot be my disciple. And anyone who does not carry his cross and follow me cannot be my disciple." May the Lord bless the reading of his word.
It is with great pleasure I'd like to introduce today's speaker, Reverend Fred Chiu. I've known Reverend Chiu for over 30, almost 40 years, I think. It's a long time, and at that time he was still a mechanical engineer. He was one of the founding members of our church in downtown Brampton at that time. Right now, Reverend Chiu, he has a long story, but you can ask him later. Right now, he's dividing his time serving in the church in Costa Rica and also building up churches and building up seminary, equipping saints in China. So he have a lot to tell, but today I'm glad he come to share God's word to encourage us. Reverend Chiu.
Buenos dias. Good morning, everybody. Good morning. Good. I want to see some energy.
Also,
this is mine. This is a PowerPoint.
Oh.
And they need the password.
You need a password. Okay.
Anyway.
Okay.
Yes.
This is a wireless mic. This is a...
Hello. Excuse me. Okay. When you look, when Jenny read that passage, what an opening statement is that? You know, like if you study in the seminary for preaching class, you probably get a D minus in this kind of introduction for your sermon. You know, because this kind of introduction will drive people away. Can you remember what did you just read? Jesus said, okay, if you want to be my disciple, if you want to be my disciple, you must what? You must hate your parents, hate your brother and sister, even your own life. Okay. See, you want people to come back next week. So usually when you prepare a sermon, your opening statement, you want to polish your punchline so that people will come back next week. Maybe they will just bring their friends next week. You might start something like that. Yeah, Jesus wants to be your best friend. Jesus will bless you. Jesus will bless your family. And Jesus will bless your little dog. And just believe in Jesus. And he will make you healthy. And he will make you wealthy. You see, this is the kind of opening statement, right? And people like to listen to that. No. So imagine if thousands of people come to this church this morning, come to this church, okay? And you were the preacher. What kind of sermon you're going to give? No? Like all pastors, they like this kind of congregation because it seems to be successful when more people come to the church, right? More people come to the church. Yeah, so I'm going to say something that they like, you know, so that they might come back next week. That's what you want? But that was not Jesus. Jesus was so different. No, look at it. Like, multitude of people came to Christ. Actually, they are not really followers of Christ. They follow Christ. They want to see miracles. They want physical healing. But for most of them, they are the newcomer. It was the first time they listened to the Word of God. This first time. So that means they are the first-time comer to the church. Most of them, I think 99% of them, 90% of them, they are so-called non-believer, non-Christian. They are not followers of Christ. And they just keep following Christ, you know, they want to see miracle, and all of a sudden Jesus stop and turn and look at them. You want to follow me? You really want to follow me? You want to be my disciple? And you must, you know, hate your parents and your brother and sister and even your own life. See, Jesus did not start with a sermon like, God love you. It's the grace of God, the mercy of God, the compassion of God. Like, this is all important. This is good. No, in fact, the first sermon, remember the first sermon of Jesus? The very first sermon of Jesus? Say, the kingdom of heaven is near. And what? And what? Right. This is the first sermon. The kingdom of heaven is near. Repent. That is the kind of sermon Jesus gave for the first, very first sermon. He did not start with the grace, did not start with the love, and this is one of the first sermons, okay? And Jesus gave. Why Jesus gave such sermon for this group of so-called non-Christian? Because this is the entry level of Christianity. This is the foundation of Christianity. That's why I entitled this sermon as Christianity, what? 101. Because if you don't understand this passage, you cannot really understand what is grace. What is the love of God? You just cannot really understand grace if you cannot understand these two verses. So, Jesus wants them to know what's the meaning, real meaning of being a Christian, a follower of Christ, a disciple. See, this two verses really sometimes it's not too appealing to people. For me, it's my favorite. Because through these two verses, I can see, I can tell Jesus knows. He knows who he is. He knows he is God. And he knows he is great. He is so great. And he is worthy for us to put him in the center of our life. It's worthy, absolutely worthy for our highest priority. He knows. He knows. That's what he's trying to tell us. And brother and sister, do you think, okay, let me ask you, do you think Jesus is that great? Do you think Jesus is that great? Way greater than your parents, than your brother and sister, friends, and even your own life? Do you think so? Do you think so? No, maybe some of you say, no. Wait until you see my little kid. Lord, he's so cute. No. You have to understand. Jesus is great, and he is God. If you cannot understand, God is that great, way beyond all your relationship, you don't understand what is grace. You don't understand what is the love of God. But if you think, I don't think so, that's fine. That's perfectly fine. That's okay, because God gave you freedom of choice. It's okay if you don't think God is that great. However, Jesus said, if you don't think that I am that great, you cannot be my disciple. Give me some response, okay? It's a communication, okay? Preaching is not just, listen. No. If you don't think that I'm that great, so you cannot be my disciple, okay? So, God is great. No, see, when we look at the creation, we can see the greatness, the power of God. And when we see the incarnation of God and the cross, we can see the greatness of his love. Let me give you an illustration. Okay, Okay, look at, like we are living in a galaxy, you know, called Milky Way galaxy. Do you know that? Okay. You know how big is a galaxy? No, okay, the speed of light is 300,000 kilometers per second, which can go around the Earth 7.5 times in 1 second. Okay, listen to it. In 1 second, the speed of light can go around the Earth 7.5 times, and you can hardly do it with your finger. Try to do your finger. In 1 second. Okay? And how big is the galaxy? Well, for example, this is a galaxy. For example, okay? From this Earth, from this edge to another edge, if you have a spaceship that can travel the speed of light, it will take you 100,000 years, light years. Okay, 100,000 light years to travel from one edge to another edge of the galaxy. It is big, right? And according to astronomy, it is considered, our Milky Way galaxy can be considered as a small galaxy. And they discovered some bigger galaxy called Hercules A. and it take you 1.5 million light years to travel from one edge to another edge. Look at this. God is big, you know. And they estimate, it's a conservative estimation, there are around 350 billions of galaxies out there. God is big. God is great. You know, you can see his one hand in one galaxy, another hand on another galaxy. He is big, and he is great. And when you look at it, wow, God, you are so big. And God, you are so immeasurable big. And how about us? Look at ourselves. You know, in a galaxy, in this Milky Way, the sun, you can hardly see the sun. It's just a very small little dot. And the sun is the size of the Earth, 1.3 million times the Earth. And how big is the Earth? You know, in the galaxy, you can see the Earth just a very tiny dust. And where is Brampton? And the dust within the dust. And where are you? You are a tiny dust? No. I am, okay, not you. I am just a tiny dust within a tiny dust within a tiny dust. We are so small. We are so tiny, you know. And God is immeasurable, great. That's incredible. And then when I look at it, I say, oh, wow. God, I just want to quiet myself and adore you and I worship you, God. I can worship you now. How great. No, you can see the greatness of God. You know, let me give you another illustration. You know, like, we are, for example, you can see this little ball. You can hardly see that, okay? This is the Earth, okay? Do you know we are, the Earth is rotating like once every 24 hours? Do you agree that? Okay? Okay, you're sitting there. You're sitting here. And tomorrow morning is already one time around the Earth. You travel, okay? So you can calculate how fast you're traveling now, right now. And you are traveling at a speed of 1,700 kilometers per hour. Is this fast? Is this fast? Have you ever tried driving on the highway for 300 kilometers per hour? Have you tried? No? But you imagine you are sitting there and you are traveling at a speed of 1,700 kilometers per hour. And you can hardly feel anything now. Isn't that amazing? No, this little ball is rotating by itself. And imagine there's a big fireball in the middle that we call the sun, okay? It's 1.3 million times bigger than the Earth. And at the same time, we're rotating, at the same time, we are spinning around this fireball. Do you know that? Do you believe that? You have no choice. It's a high school textbook. You know, or you can Google it. Okay, you can Google it. Okay. It's real. Okay. We are rotating, like the Earth is rotating by itself, and it is spinning around this big fireball. At a speed of 100,000 kilometers per hour. Okay, it is rotating by itself 1,700 kilometers per hour, and it's spinning around this fireball 100,000 kilometers per hour. And are you feeling anything now? Wow, it's kind of dizzy now. Okay, have you tried the Disney World, like the what do you call it, the coffee cup, you know, thing? No? Like, but anyway, isn't that amazing? You know? And this, you can look the greatness. You can look, you can see the greatness of the power of God only through this creation. Look at our Earth and the sun. This is, how far is that? Like, it's 150 million kilometers apart from each other. And we are locked in the perfect perfect location and perfect orbit. It's just spinning around and around in a perfect orbit. If we're just a little bit closer to the sun, all of us will die. It's so hot. We'll be fried like fried chicken. Like if we're a little bit further, we'll be frozen like frozen turkey. You know, we all of us will die. You know, in this perfect orbit, it just fly around and around the sun, and accidentally it just go woo, and the whole world, the whole earth disintegrate in a few hours. And you say, oh yeah, yeah, it's just all coincidence, right? It's all coincidence. No, it's not coincidence. You can see the greatness of God. And according to astronomy, like the beginning of universe is by the theory of Big Bang Theory. Have you heard about that? Not the TV series, okay? It's the scientific Big Bang Theory. They believe like in the beginning of the universe, there was a huge, huge explosion. And then things begin. Okay. I believe that because in Genesis chapter 1, verse 3, do you know the first thing that God created? Do you know what is that? Let there be what? Light. What is light? When it concentrates on the energy, like release in time 0.00001 second. No, there will be a big old explosion. However, also, this energy will give out what? Then. Let there be. Are you with me? Are you with me? It's 10:30 already. Okay, anyway. So I believe that too. I believe Genesis chapter 1 and this Big Bang Theory, they are coherent with each other. However, something really amazed me. It's after the explosion, after the huge explosion, everything become more beautiful and become more orderly. You think that is a coincidence? Try it tonight. Try it in your room. Okay, put some dynamite, explosive, in your room. And detonate it. And the next morning you will see a beautiful palace. It's all coincidence. No, it's not coincidence. We call it miracles. But really that happened. Look at the world, you know, it's so beautiful. Is it changing? Okay. It's not changing, okay. Can you change next? Yeah, this is Costa Rican birth, anyway. It's so beautiful. It's all by random coincidence. No way. Next one. Okay, next. Look at this. What a beautiful what? World. What a beautiful world. Next, please. This is all coincidence. After this explosion of this randomness, and then this beautiful world. And the next one, all the flowers, colorful flowers. God can create flowers with only one color, yeah. But he creates colorful flowers. And then, next one, and this is coincidence, all by random. No. Dear brothers and sisters, can you see the greatness of God? Only from the creation you can see the greatness of God. So, my time is already up. I haven't finished half of my sermon yet. But anyway, in Timothy, let's read together. 1, 2, 3. God blessed and the only ruler, the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. He's the only ruler. He's so great. God is great. So in ancient time, when you want to meet the king, you have to bow down or you have to kneel down. You cannot see the king eyeball to eyeball unless you're allowed to. If you do so, your head might be chopped, okay? So this is how powerful is an ancient king. But God is not only king, he's the kings of kings. He's the only ruler. He's the Lord of lords. And yet, he's a great God, and yet he came to us in human form, in the lowest class human being. I heard a story of a student. You know, he tried to get to the town with by a long distance bus, and he got into the bus station and he saw the free classes. Okay, first class ticket was $10, and second class ticket was $5, and third class tickets was $2. Okay, of course, because he was a poor student, he got the $2 ticket. Okay, and he got into the bus and he saw, all classes, they are the same. No, in fact, the person sitting next to him was first class. So wow, he was so happy. You know, he saved a lot of money and enjoyed the same benefit until the bus get to a slope, uphill slope, and the bus stopped. And the driver announced, all the first class people, stay in the bus. All the second class people, please get off the bus and start walking uphill until you get to the top. And all the third class people, you need to get down and start. Yeah, you're right. You're so clever. Start pushing the bus uphill. You know, wow, you know. See, in this world, they have different classes. But Jesus came. He is God in human form. And it's not come as first class or the king, but he came at the lowest class. And he died for us. And he loved us so much. When we see that, we can see the greatness from his creation, his power, and we can see the greatness of his love, his unconditional love. No, we just come to him, you know, we should just cry out, God, you love me so much. You are so great. You're a great God. I'm so tiny, and yet you love me so much. And you send your only begotten Son to die for my sin so that I can be forgiven. And now I can pray to you, I can talk to you, and now I can worship you. And I can call you Abba, Father. Isn't that incredible? He's a great God. He's a great God. So, brother and sister, let me go back to the passage. Okay. You can see, if anyone comes to me and does not hate. This is a direct translation from Greek. But in Chinese Bible, you cannot see that. The Chinese Bible, you can see, you should love me more than your parents, than your wife. No. In original Greek, it is hate. Hate. Why Jesus used this word? Hate. See, the Bible tells us to honor our parents, right? To honor our parents, to love our spouse, right? So how come Jesus used this word, you should hate your parents? See, because Jesus wants us to know our devotion to God. Okay, listen, okay. I only have a few minutes. Okay, listen. Our devotion to God is in a completely different category. For example, okay, I'm an animal lover, like even little ant, I don't want to kill ant. Even he invade into my territory, I don't want to kill him. Sometimes I just feed a little, but my wife is different. My wife just kill them all, you know? Like, but see, if I have a little struggle, should I love the little ant or my wife? Should I have this kind of thinking? Okay, this little ant, this is my wife or this is my mother. And you're trying to compare this little ant with your wife or your mother. Are you out of your mind? Are you crazy? This is a little dog. This is my wife. Maybe you compare a little dog with your husband. Yes, sometimes you do. Okay, but you compare a little cat with your mother? Are you out of your mind? You know what I'm talking about? It's a completely different category. You just cannot compare God, the infinite God, the eternal God, with a finite human being. And you try to put God and human on the same platform and try to compare them. And God said, no. You just cannot. You know, between God and man, there's a huge, huge gap and huge contrast. God and man. Ant and your wife. Dog and your mother. Should you struggle? Should I love this little dog or my mother? Dog or mother? I struggle. You should not even think about it. You should not even have little struggle on that. Right? You're out of your mind. In Spanish, they say, Falta tornillo. Falta tornillo is something wrong with your head. But anyway. So that's why, because of this huge gap and huge contrast, it's beyond verbal expression. Way beyond verbal expression. That's why Jesus used the word hate. Hate. Because there's no word, like no word can describe that contrast. So that's why Jesus say, I am great. Do you acknowledge that I am great? I am so great. I'm way greater, and I am over and beyond all your relationship, other relationships, other things. If you don't think so, you cannot be my disciple. If you don't think so, you don't understand what is grace. You don't understand what is the love of God. If you cannot even understand how great is God, how can you follow a God that you don't even understand who is? He's the great God. He is the only God who created this universe. That's why his name is I Am Who I Am, because I'm the only God. Because Moses is trying to ask which God you are. Moses grew up in Egypt. There were many gods in Egypt. He's trying to ask God which God you are. And God said, what do you mean which God I am? I am who I am. I'm the only God. Like you're the only human being in this world. And little creature called you, which human being you are? What do you mean? I'm the only human being. Okay, the most important attribute of God is holiness. Holiness, the definition of holiness is to set apart from everyone, everything. And God is the only God. And God is great. And God is beyond all your relationship, all everything. If you don't acknowledge that, if you don't believe that, you cannot be his disciple because you don't know him. And you cannot understand the rest of the Bible. Talk about love. Oh, love, yeah, like my mother. Oh, love, like my friends. No, this love is different. Talk about grace. If you cannot understand how great is God, you just cannot understand. Okay? Anyway, let's try something. I only have 2 minutes. Okay, let's try something. Take a deep breath now. Understand what I mean. You know, what you just did. You can breathe. It is only because God allowed you to breathe. You understand that? You can breathe because God allowed you to breathe. Sometimes people say, oh no, I graduated from university. I am a professional people all by myself because I work hard because of my talent. Do you know that you can think, you can walk, you can talk? It's all by the grace of God. If something happened to your mind, just a little bit short circuit in your mind, you cannot even remember your own name. And you're trying to say, all by myself, like this four-year-old little kid, you know, trying to shoot the basketball into the hood, and keep trying, he couldn't make it, and then his strong, tall father lift him all the way up, and he just dropped the ball into the hood, and he said, oh, I did it, all by myself. Isn't that childish? So, brother and sister, it's by the grace of God. Sometimes people ask me, hey, Fred, how come you gave up your engineering career for this, like, full-time ministry? Yeah, I was a consultant engineer when I was 25. Companies sent me to Germany, Sweden to have different training. And I was a chief production engineer. Over 1,000 people work under me. And people ask, Fred, why you gave up this career? And my answer is so simple, only two words. Why not? Why not? I am serving the Almighty God. I am serving the greatest God. I am serving, it's my privilege. I can serve Him. I can worship Him. Why not? I'm not sacrificing anything. I'm serving this great God. But anyway, yeah. Friends, sister, I have to stop now. When you know He's so great, then you understand His grace. And say, God, I'm going to live for you. You're a great God. And you can just walk your way in life with peace because your focus, the key question in your life is not how weak I am. Yes, I am weak. But the key question in your life is how strong you are, God. You're a great God. And I am following you. I follow. I just keep following you. I don't worry about tomorrow because you're in control of everything. So it changed your life, transformed your life. Then, brothers and sisters, being a disciple, I know I cannot live up to that commitment. Yeah, I know. I cannot either. But being a disciple of God is a commitment. After you make a commitment, the Holy Spirit will dwell inside you and help you to walk and walk. And from glory to glory, He's transforming you. From glory and glory, He's changing you and more like Christ. So being a disciple is a commitment. At the same time, being a disciple is a process of life, like marriage. You make the commitment less than 1 minute, you know. Yes, I do. And then afterward, whole life. But it's important that you make that commitment. Yes, God. I acknowledge, I believe that you are a great God. I'm willing to follow you. I commit to follow you. Help me, please. Because of my time, I cannot continue now. But let's pray. Father, thank you for your word. Father, I pray for this group of people in this room, maybe some of them. They are still not followers of Christ. They are not disciples of you. May your word touch their soul that they can understand you are a great God. You are so great. When we look back, we make a lot of mistakes because we are not following you. But from now on, I pray that everyone in this room can make this commitment that God, I want to follow you. Christ, I want to be your disciple. For the rest of my life, I may fall, but by your grace, I will walk again. I'm here for, but by your grace, I will just walk again. Because I'm following you. Father, thank you for this time. And pray in Jesus' name, amen.